former faculty member. And of course, in life, we always progress upwards. So he became, through God's grace, the Bishop of New York and the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. He is a prolific speaker. He knows his content, but most of all, he has a great love, not only for St. Tikhon's Theological Seminary, but for all of its graduates, for all the students that were under his care for the many years that he was the dean. And I'm sure he has the same care for his priests and his flock in the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. So let us welcome His Grace Michael, Bishop of New York, and the Diocese of New York and New Jersey.
To all of you, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. Under the attitude of Metropolitan Jonah, very reverend and reverend fathers, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, Christ is in our midst. It's an honor for me to be here at the Fort Myers Officers Club and a joy to be with all of you. As you know, I've been asked to speak about St. Tikhon's Monastery and Seminary in South Canaan, Pennsylvania, where our men are spiritually formed and theologically educated to become monks or clergy or both for our Orthodox Church in this country and throughout the world. Let me begin by saying that I did not attend St. Tikhon Seminary when I was studying for the priesthood. But let me add that of the very few regrets I have in all my life, I sincerely wish that I had been formed at St. Tikhon Seminary. I make this confession because I've spent the last 20 years of my life affiliated with this holy place. I know its unique role in American Orthodox history and its profound importance in shaping our church on this continent for more than a century. St. Tikhon's is a unique place in all of North America. It is a place where saints have lived and walked and prayed and taught. The land that belongs to the monastery and the seminary was purchased at the beginning of the 20th century by then Archbishop Tikhon, who later became Patriarch of all Russia and then Confessor and Saint Tikhon of Moscow. His vision for that land was that it would be a holy ground for Orthodoxy in this country, where a monastery named after his patron, Saint Tikhon of Zadansk, the 18th century Russian saint, could be established that would be a wellspring for growth for our church in North America. The monastery built there was consecrated in 1905 by Archbishop Tikhon's auxiliary, Bishop Raphael of Brooklyn, himself a saint, canonized in the year 2000 on those very grounds that he had blessed St. Tikhon's. Place where he had consecrated that monastery. Other saints who have graced the sacred site include Alexander Hotovitsky, a great missionary priest in our country, the founder of several parishes in the eastern part of the United States, who was martyred by the Bolsheviks. Alexis Toth, who led tens of thousands of Greek Catholics in our country to return to their ancestral Orthodox Church in the early 1900s and who became a confessor for the faith, was also canonized on that very monastery grounds where he was buried and whose relics now rest in St. Tikhon's Monastery Church. Nikolai Velimirovich, a Serbian hierarch of great holiness, who served as professor and rector of St. Tikhon Seminary, where he reposed some 50 years ago, and who was canonized in his homeland only a decade ago. There are also widely venerated Archbishop Arseny, who was a herald of monastic at St. Tikhon's, and a beloved hierarch in Canada, and the saintly Metropolitan Leonti, who lovingly led the Metropolia, as the Orthodox Church in America was then known, and who was buried behind the monastery church, both of whom are spoken of in terms of future canonization. How unprecedented is that list? Greece and Russia and the Holy Land have innumerable men and women of across the centuries that have become saints. But where else on this continent can you find such a cavalcade of Christian heroes that have been glorified by the church? Nowhere else except South Canaan, Pennsylvania. Not only have canonized saints lived and walked and prayed and taught at St. Ticon's, but even today, that place is populated by, in the language of St. Paul, saints in the making. St. Ticon's Monastery is the oldest monastic community of the Orthodox faith in North America. As I said, it was founded by St. Ticon of Moscow when he was Archbishop in America. Named after his patron, St. Ticon of Zadonsk, it became the spiritual center of Orthodoxy at the dawn of the 20th century. Their men would commit their lives completely to the service of Christ and his church. There, the entire cycle of daily services around the clock had been celebrated without ever missing us, skipping a beat for more than a century. Men of prayer, offering petitions for the living and the deceased, for you and for me, without interruption, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, to this day, that unending litany of prayer and divine services offered by the monks at St. Ticon's, now almost 20 in number, is an inspiration to the young men who come to study for the priesthood. These monks are spiritual fathers to the seminarians and their families and their faculty mentors as well. The monastery itself houses not only the relics of all the saints of America who have walked its grounds, but also the relics of many other saints from various Orthodox lands across the centuries. From its relic of the True Cross, the relics of the great healer Panteleimon, to the relics of the first saint of America, Herman of Alaska. St. Ticon's is also known for its unparalleled collection of icons, from the famous reproduction of a miracle-working She Was Quick to Hear icon of the Theotokos, gifted in 1906 from the monks of Mount Athos, to the hundreds of centuries-old icons that are available for view in the Metropolitan Museum, some of which are here today that you've seen. Many of them are being brought this year to Villanova University to be shared with the greater Philadelphia area population by the guardian of the icons, Father John Parrish, who is curator of the museum. St. Ticon's Monastery is even more, though, than a place of prayer and veneration. From its earliest days, St. Ticon's also reached beyond its borders and became a base of operation for missionizing America, for establishing parishes throughout the country, especially in the Northeast, and for providing clergy to serve as pastors for those communities. In fact, so many monks were being pulled out of the monastery to serve the fledgling parishes that Archbishop Ticon envisioned the need for a seminary in South Canaan, so that the monks could stay in their monastery, the priests could be formed and trained to serve the growing communities in America. Actually, long before the first Orthodox seminary was established in the U.S. in Tenafly, New Jersey, there was a preparatory school for priests in South Canaan as early as 1911, where those first missionaries were being educated by the monastics. That would eventually give birth to St. Ticon's Seminary, being formally incorporated in 1938, around the same time, just after Holy Cross and St. Latimer's were inaugurated. Their 75th anniversary is on deck for next year. For 8 decades, St. Ticon's has tried to fulfill the vision spoken by St. Ticon of Moscow, only led the church in this country, to produce priests for the Orthodox parishes in America. And that St. Ticon's has done, I believe, tireless effort and yeoman success. Over the years, the school has produced hundreds of priests and several hierarchs. Some little known facts. The first Orthodox Bishop of Washington, Bishop Jonah Stallburg, was a graduate of St. Ticon's Seminary and one of the seminary's first rectors in the early 1950s. St. Ticon's has produced for the Washington Cathedral such names of the past as Father Doroshin and Father Kudrikov, the present Father Valery Shemchuk, as well as other clergy in the capital area, Father Yaroslav Sudik, Father Ted Bobak, Father David Subu, just to name a few. preserving the rich heritage of Orthodox tradition handed down from the Russian Orthodox Church to the saints I've already mentioned. St. Tikhon Seminary boasts an incredible array of faculty, hierarchs and clergy, monastic and lay professors from such prestigious schools as Thessaloniki and Moscow, Oxford, Bellarmine, and Rome, as well as prestigious American universities. The present full-time faculty has an average tenure at St. Tikhon's of 25 years each. Yeoman service out of love, absolutely unprecedented. Under the aegis of His Beatitude and the Holy Synod of the Orthodox Church in America, St. Tikhon Seminary is governed by a board of trustees of 30 members, hierarchs and clergy, parish rectors and military chaplains, monastics and laypersons, men and women of all walks of life, doctors and dentists, lawyers and educators, journalists and business persons, insurance agents, government officials, jewelers and curators, all united in bringing to fruition the vision of St. Tikhon of Moscow to facilitate at the seminary the spiritual formation and theological education of the future priests and deacons and monks of our church. St. Tikhon's legacy lives on under their leadership. By the way, we have a couple of openings for the board coming here, just in case anyone is interested. The present seminary program is what I call a perfect balance. One-fourth scripture, one-fourth dogmatic theology and spirituality, one-fourth church history and patristics, and one-fourth pastoral arts and practice. Is that last component that makes St. Tikhon's so unique. One-fourth of the program is pastoral arts and praxis, along with weekend parish visitations and a required full summer internship under the tutelage of a parish priest. The seminary prepares its students to become pastors of parishes, what St. Tikhon envisioned a century ago. The program is accredited not only by the Association of Theological Schools in the United States and Canada, but also by the Ministry of Education in Greece, the only seminary in our country with that distinct honor. At one time, St. Tikhon's was the alma mater of students from Pennsylvania, the southern tier of New York, Ohio, and West Virginia. But now it attracts men from all over the country and from almost every jurisdiction of the United States, not only the OCA, but also the Greek Archdiocese, the Antiochian Archdiocese, the Serbian, Ukrainian, Bulgarian, Albanian, Romanian, and Rokor jurisdictions, as well as Indian and Coptic Orthodox. The seminaries come not only from within the United States, but from around the world. Men are sent from the traditional patriarchates and old world churches to study in South Canaan, such as the reputation of St. Tikhon's, even among the ancient sees of the church. Students come also from countries that are not Orthodox, without their own seminaries. Places like Uganda and South Africa, India and Pakistan, the Philippines and Indonesia, Denmark and Hungary, Mexico and Brazil. The makeup of the present student body is much different from the time Father John and I were seminarians. Today's average seminarian is married, with children, a convert to Orthodoxy, with a previous career, and often a prior faith-based ministry. They come with bachelor's, master's, and even PhD degrees already in hand. That's the good news. The challenge is that we have to prepare these men for ministry in the fullness of the Orthodox tradition. We have to prepare them to witness to a world that is ever-changing, a culture that is more and more foreign to and even hostile to the Christian faith. And we have to jam that preparation into 3 short years. And over those 3 years, they have to make unbelievable sacrifices of themselves and their families. To be able to attend the full cycle of services that are necessary, offered by the monks on a daily basis, the classes that are required for an accredited Master of Divinity degree, and the community service that the seminary insists of them in their pastoral arts and praxis centered program. It is a rigorous, demanding schedule that leaves students no time to work to support for their families. In fact, there's barely enough time for them to play with their kids. And remember, up to now, there has been no married student housing on campus. They've had to drive miles up the mountainous Pennsylvania roads in the winter to services and classes. Only now have we just purchased a facility to convert into married student housing on the edge of the campus. An expensive project whose renovation we, of course, need help to complete before the apartments can be open to students and their families. In the end, God is good. With the inspiring example of prayer and fasting and vigil and almsgiving of their spiritual fathers in the monastery, the brilliant research and scholarship, teaching and guidance of their stellar faculty, and the wisdom and mentoring of the seasoned clergy whom they are able to emulate, St. John Seminary produces an average of 20 to 25 graduates a year, 70 to 80% of whom on average are ordained to ministry, an unprecedented number, an unparalleled percentage. And now St. John's has two additional campuses to provide diaconal formation for married men who cannot come to seminary, currently numbering 15 students. No other Orthodox theological school in this country can boast those figures. What can I say about St. John's graduates? Our alumni are living proof positive examples of what St. John envisioned could happen for the church in this country. They take their place as good pastors, serving on behalf of the Good Shepherd, feeding his flock the bread of life and the word of God. When I was still a priest, when I was the dean, it was my greatest joy to visit my former students' parishes and to stand as second priest at the altar as our newest alumnus celebrated the liturgy. I could see with my own eyes that the work of St. John Seminary and the future of our church would live on and prosper even after I have passed on in our graduates. And now as a bishop, I can with confidence and pride assign one of St. John's graduates to one of my parishes, knowing it will be in the loving hands of a good pastor. My friends, I could go on and on. I think you get the picture. From the saints who have lived and walked and prayed and taught there, to the relics and icons that are housed in South Canaan, to the monks who have kept the tradition and faith of Orthodoxy alive and celebrate the cycle of services without interruption for more than 100 years, to the brilliant faculty and experienced priest mentors of St. John Seminary, to young men who have continued to come to be formed and educated in order to give their lives in the service of Christ and his church, St. John's is a unique place with an unprecedented history that continues to give singular glory to God. If you have never visited South Canaan, please come. If you've been there before, please come again. You won't recognize the place. The new abbot of the monastery, Father Sergius, and the new dean of St. John's Seminary, Father Alexander Addy, have made remarkable changes to the facilities without changing the priceless heritage they share in common. When you pray each day, I ask that you remember of St. John's, where the work of Christ and the saints continues. And when you see a young man in your parish who serves the church with zeal, maybe he's an altar boy, or a singer, a church school teacher, or a parish council leader, encourage him to think about ministry, either as a priest or a deacon, or a monk. And if you're considering a charity to support, considering offering a scholarship for one of these men who are preparing to offer their lives for the service of our Lord, his church, our Orthodox people in the United States, it is an investment that you will not be able to measure in dollars and cents, but one day you will be able to know that a priest standing at an altar praying for you because you helped him with his education in seminary by your gift of love. And on that great day, the Lord will reward you in his heavenly kingdom for helping his church here on earth. I did not attend St. John Seminary as a student. It was my loss. But I came to the school 20 years ago as an instructor, served for 10 of those years as dean, and now have the privilege of belonging to the Board of Trustees, and all of that has been my immeasurable gain. I am privileged to be where saints have lived and walked and prayed and taught. I am blessed to be able to serve with those prayer warriors at St. Kitan's Monastery, the Divine Services. I am honored just to stand among those giants of theological education who comprise the faculty of St. Tikhon Seminary. And it is my joy to continue to teach Scripture through the lens of the Holy Fathers to the wonderful young students who will one day take their rightful place leading our church in America as bishops, as priests, as monks, as deacons, as theologians. That is why, even though I live in another state, I drive 2.5 hours each way, each week, to continue teaching, because I have seen and I believe in St. Tikhon Seminary. I invite you to come and see, and God willing, join me in support of this unique place in all of Orthodoxy in America. Thank you. God bless you. Many years to all of you. God bless you. God keep you. God ever love you.
We would now like to hear a few words from our beloved Metropolitan Jonah, who is, of course, the host of this evening's reception. And I know he will be very happy to share his experiences at St. Tikhon's Monastery, which is the oldest monastery in America. We'd like to thank His Grace Bishop Michael for those beautiful, inspiring words. I know, as a graduate of St. Tikhon's, I remember the old days when we had very famous professors, but professors that were little known in the American audience. Some of them were great giants in the Russian Orthodox Church, and they made their homes in Tikhon's. So we indeed have a great history to share with all of you, and we invite you, like Bishop Michael said, to our monastery, to our seminary, to our museum, and to the repository, and pray that you will be very helpful in your charity and love, not only for St. Tikhon, but for the Orthodox Church in America. I'd like to introduce His Beatitude, Metropolitan Jonah, the Primate of the Orthodox Church in America, and the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. God bless you. I have to say, I didn't really come to know St. Tikhon's until after I'd become Metropolitan. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have done so. Truly, St. Tikhon's Seminary is one of the most important institutions within the Orthodox Church in America, where the very identity of our church has been worked out. The very identity and an authentic love for the tradition of the Holy Fathers, an authentic love for the Orthodox faith is incarnated, and where it's spread. St. Tikhon's, both the monastery and the seminary, is an authentic missionary center, just as it was founded to be by St. Tikhon. And it is so important for us to support that mission. One of the goals of St. Tikhon's Seminary is to be able to provide an affordable education for all of its seminarians. No one is turned away. No one is turned away. And one of the most important things that we can do, both as individuals and as parishes, is to support individual seminarians through scholarships. Yes, there are many opportunities to support the general fund, and that's greatly appreciated. There are many opportunities to support particular projects and concrete kind of renovation projects. But one of the things that I would like for you to think about is to pick a seminarian and enable him to serve the church.
when you think about it, it's one thing for a 20, when I went to seminary, I was 21, right out of college, and I didn't finish paying off my student loans until the year before I became metropolitan. That's a really heavy burden. It's a really heavy burden for a priest, especially in a missionary situation. And almost every situation in our church is a missionary situation. There are heroic priests who are struggling to serve the church full time on, in some places, on $20,000 a year. How are they going to pay student loans? And so it's so, and these are fantastic men. These are men of faith. These are men who have dedicated their whole life to Jesus Christ and to the service of Jesus Christ and his church and to the proclamation of the gospel. And so if it's possible to provide them an education, shouldn't we do that? St. Deacon's strives with every bit of its might to keep the cost of education down, so that to be able to do that is so to be able to sponsor a seminarian, Ludica, what, it's about $7,000 a year? Think about that. $7,000 a year, and you can provide an education for some young man who will become a priest. Whether it's the whole amount or whether it's just a contribution to that amount, it's truly something that would be blessed by God. St. Deacon's also, if you, on another level, would be immensely benefited by the endowment of a chair or two. Now, we're not looking at $7,000, we're looking at a few more zeros. But what a thing to strive for. Right now there are 4 full-time faculty and about 12-15 adjunct faculty. We could use a couple more full-time faculty. It would be a tremendous thing. And another thing that is really important is to be able to provide the faculty with a regular salary. The faculty who are there have accepted for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel way, way, way below market salaries, simply in order, as a sacrifice they offer to God, in order to be able to teach and to prepare these men to serve. If we are able, let us strive to give generously to St. Deacon's. St. Deacon's is not an institution which is striving to do anything but to bring forth priests and servants of the church. It's the main mission of St. Deacon's is not to prepare academics. It's not about speculative theology. There's other places for that. But it's to prepare pastors. One of the great blessings I've seen over the past 3 years, and I'm so grateful to God that it's happened, is the growth of St. Deacon's Monastery. The abbot there, Father Sergius, I have to say, he's one of my boys. he was with me in the monastery in California when he first began his vocation in the Orthodox Church. And I sent him to St. Deacon's for an education, and they kept him. And I have to say, I wasn't too happy, and I used to rip at Bishop Teton endlessly to say, when are you going to send it back? But, well, I pointed him at it. So I installed him as abbot. He was elected. Since he became abbot, I won't dwell too much on the fact that he's completely rebuilt the main building where the monks live, literally stripping it down to the studs, and making it it's like a brand new building. He's brought in one modular with 8 cells, and now they've outgrown that. He's bringing in another modular with, I think, 3 or 4 cells. And the brothers just keep coming. That's because Father Sergius is providing what they really need. A spiritual father who will disciple them, who will teach them by his example, and if need be, by his words. Who is tireless in his striving. One of the greatest strengths of St. Tikhon's seminary is its proximity to the monastery. And the integration between the two, which is always a very interesting dance, as the two try and figure out how best to work together and support one another, is perhaps the most important aspect of the spiritual formation that is available to the students of the seminary. They can have Father Sergius as a spiritual father, or some of the other fathers. They can go to the full daily cycle of services, and they can learn obedience. They can learn faith, not just in the academic studies, but by that experience, that living in a community structured by obedience, and with the constant exposure to the Holy Scriptures, the constant exposure to the services, imparts knowledge of the heart, not just of the head. And it's that integrated way of being that is so important for our church. Because it's not enough to simply have people who are academically well-trained. We need to have people who are men of the heart and who preach and teach from the heart as well as from the head. So, I would commend you and urge you to strongly consider how you can support St. Tikhon Seminary and support the future of our Orthodox Church in America. Because truly, the future of our church is being written in those young men who are being taught, who are being formed, and who will take up the mantle of pastorship, of leadership, and of guidance of our church in the next years, in the next decades. So, may God bless you. Thank you so much for coming to this event, and I'm really delighted as the Archbishop of Washington. That we can have such an event and have a nice turnout. We got to do this more often and get together as a diocese socially. One of the things that I tell people is it's in parishes, the parish that parties together stays together. Okay. Well, it's the diocese that parties together stays together. Because what we need to do is we need to build up those relationships that are not just formal. What kind of a relationship can you have if you just see somebody in passing at liturgy and hello at coffee hour? You know, it's these authentic relationships and friendships that grow and which are nurtured by events like this. So, Ladika, welcome to the Diocese of Washington. It is always a great joy to have you here and to be with you. And thank you for your words. And brothers and sisters, thank you so much for coming. And let's see what we can do to make a difference for St. Ignatius. God bless you. Your Beatitude, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the seminary community, but I would also, please, for one second, I'd just like to specifically thank my cousin, Dunya Plachov, for all the work that she has done putting this procession together. And also to Father Kenneth Bradley from the Cathedral and Father Subic. When we started this endeavor to have a reception, it was somewhat difficult in the Washington area to get everyone together. Now, that's no reflection on Washington. However, we just need a little push, and they're the ones that gave the push in order to have this and to accomplish this. I just want to invite you to Villanova from October 15th to December 15th. It's very strange that our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters would invite our monastery and repository collections to come first to a Roman Catholic university, but that is indeed something to be proud of for our church. And we welcome you. I just want to announce to you that His Eminence, Metropolitan Hilarion Althea, will receive the honorary doctorate degree from Villanova on October 30th. You are welcome to attend. On November 14th, Father Justin from the St. Catherine's Monastery in Mount Sinai will be our guest at Villanova, where he will bring a piece of the Sinaiticus Gospel, and he will speak on the importance of iconography on the Holy Monastery of St. Catherine. And then in December, our guest, hopefully, will be His Eminence Metropolitan Callistus Ware. We will have two symposiums of authors of books in October and November, and hopefully we will have many of the bishops of the Episcopal Assembly attend for the opening service of Thanksgiving on October 26th, the Feast of St. Demetrius. Again, we thank all of you, and especially all of you who made time to come this evening. I also would like to welcome some guests that we have from Kiev. Dionysia, are they here?
Yep.
Yes, we have some guests that arrived from the Moscow Patriarchate Metropolitanate of Kiev. They are visiting the United States. They went to our monastery and seminary today in South Canaan, and they drove all the way down so that they could be here this evening. So we'd like to welcome them. Would you please stand? This is Dionysius Levov. He is the Kalenik of Vladika Mitropolit Hilarion Kapral, and also there are five guests with him. So we'd like to welcome them. And we'd like to also thank again all the members of the Board of Trustees of St. Ignatius who are with us this evening. And I'd like to introduce to you the new head of development of our seminary, Father Dennis Swank. Father Dennis, would you please rise? He is our new head of development and order of development, so he is the man you talk to concerning donations. We didn't come here for nothing. And I didn't bring all these icons down here just to say hello to you. But
Catholics have real big pockets.
Right, big pockets. Really big. Yeah, but neither here nor there. We love you. We have a great connection to this diocese because of Bishop Jonah Stahlberg, Father John Dorosh, who's the first pastor of the Washington Cathedral, my own family who attended, my own uncle, Dunya's father, Father Alexander Pogrebniak, and all the others that have worked. It's interesting that I'm here because my grandfather is the one who gave me a sermon at the blessing of the Washington Cathedral of St. Nicholas. And those of us in the old Mitropolia always thought of the Washington area not as something generically Washingtonian, basically, it belonged to all of us in America because it was a shrine. It was not just a cathedral. It was not a church. It was a shrine for all of us
and of all of our family members who sacrificed, not only in this country, but during the terrible time of the revolution and the civil war in Russia. So again, God bless you, thank you, and your beatitude, will you please lead us in prayer.
Blessed.